FCP Euro is an online retailer of OE, OEM, genuine aftermarket and performance parts for European cars. From BMW to Porsche, Volvo, and more, their catalog is a one-stop shop with over 275,000 unique products, including expert assembled kits to make shopping simpler. Actively building out the Volkswagen, Audi, and Porsche catalogs, from current to our favorite classics, including the Mark 1 Scirocco freeride car, they are working to have every part you need for all of your cars. Plus, every product they sell is backed by a lifetime replacement guarantee. Even wear items like wiper blades, brake pads, and oil filters, lifetime warranty. With the opening of their distribution center in Mesa, Arizona, FCP Euro is now shipping parts from both coasts, serving most of the country in 3 days or less with free shipping. We at Overcrest have been working with FCP Euro for years and can vouch for them. They are real people who are passionate about what they do and the cars we love, while making sure to put you, the customer, first. Check them out today at fcpeuro.com and take advantage of free shipping on any order over $49.
Hey guys, welcome to Overcrest. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jake. And I feel like the intro music keeps getting louder every single time we do this.
Are you just cranking it,
just screwing with me?
I have no control over the intro volume. Jake!
What?
We're home.
It was a whirlwind week, for sure.
We were gone for a week and did all kinds of stuff. And we did so much that I had to go through and like list everything day by day of all the shit that... all the stuff we did, all the stuff that went wrong, all the stuff that went right, I went through and I made a list because I figured I wouldn't remember it.
We hosted. Okay, I feel like we have to back up here a little.
Preface,
bit.
Yeah.
There are people that are not Porsche folk. Yes. Chris.
Yes, that's
God
true.
Bless
there are a few of those
right?
out there. You know what's crazy is I hate being. Well, I don't hate. I don't hate anything, but I dislike
that
being
we're pigeonholed.
As a Porsche guy, because I'm not a Porsche guy.
I'm an international guy, Chris. I'm an international guy.
Well, we were going to get there, but I guess we can talk about that right now.
No, not at all.
Okay, well, we'll just leave that hanging there now.
We'll get to it at the end. It's fine. That's called a hook, Chris. That's called the hook.
The hook. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that.
Skip to the end. There is a large Porsche show, Chris, that has been going for some time called Luftgekühlt, which is German for air cooled, because, of course, all of the 911s up until 1998 did not have any liquid cooling or radiator.
88. It was oil cooled.
I said 98, didn't I?
Oh, okay. I was like, what are you talking about, dude?
98, okay, sir. The end of the 993 gen. So Luftgekühlt, that's where the name of the show comes from. It's been going 8-9 years, I think. And then just last year, they expanded because it was such a cool thing and like everyone loved it so much that I feel like there was guys that were like, well, hold on. I have a cool car, but it just happens to be water cooled. That's
Jake,
my thought process.
We just went through all this with Pat Long. We don't need to rehash the reason why air water exists.
Fine. Okay. Air water. So this is year two. I know, but whatever. This is year two.
For me, this is year one. I feel like this is year one.
It is very different. Yes.
I feel like this was year one. This was an event. We can talk about the event now if you want, but this was the first event where air water was a standalone event. And it seems like it's probably the largest one make car show in the world. Because I think there was like probably 1,100 or 1,200 cars there, and around 10,000 to 12,000 people rolled through the little spinny thing.
I wonder if that's true. Have you looked into that? Like, I feel like there has to be a Mustang gathering that's bigger or something like that.
I think the Porsche scene is unique in the fact that they like to get together like this.
Yeah.
I think it's a unique thing. I think Porsche in general has done a pretty good job of cultivating this. I know the Porsche Club kind of sucks, but Porsche in general is pretty good at kind of like helping this ecosystem exist. I don't feel like this exists anywhere else. I really
with
don't.
Other manufacturers.
I don't know if it's like a lack of mutual respect between old Honda guys and new Honda guys. Do those dudes hang out? I don't know. I'm not sure if they do. Do new Mustang guys and old Mustang guys hang out?
Probably not.
Does a guy with like a Shelby?
That one probably doesn't. No.
Probably not.
You're
right.
That one it doesn't. Honda guys, maybe. I feel like you respect the early Hondas. I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, it is. It's very cool because like Porsche corporate has a presence there, and like it's very much ingrained into the brand itself.
Not officially, but I'm sure they've got their toes dipping in the sand.
They certainly do. So the organizers of this show kind of like reached out to us to do a drive to the show.
Yep.
And so it was the Road to Airwater. The Overcrest Road to Airwater.
Yeah, we created a brand and an event for the guys at Airwater to have something extraneous with the show. So we planned this whole thing. We flew out to Palm Springs,
where we had our cars shipped.
Where our cars were shipped.
I tell people it's a preface. Like we cheated because everyone's like, "Oh, you drove out here from Minnesota."
I understand.
And I was
that.
Like, "Yes, usually we do."
I don't know that I'm going to do that anymore. It's what? Crazy because I've gotten so busy. Yeah, I got a hard time. People were ribbing me. Oh, I thought you were the take the car guy, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I just.
No, and that's why I say it's like we've driven everywhere. And guess what? We don't have time.
I can't. We're doing four events this year. Family, I cannot.
No.
Take 2 weeks to go to each one of these events. Driving out to California takes 4 days. Takes 4 days to get back. That's a week plus the time we would have spent there. That's 2 weeks for this. And then in two weeks, we've got the rally. And that's another 2 weeks or a week and a half. Then I have to go scout in Arkansas. Hey, we're doing the rally in Arkansas if you didn't see it. Hooray.
Oh, that's right. This is the first time we're announcing on the podcast.
Yep. And I've got to go scout that, which is a week. And then we've got another top secret event that we're doing later this year that I've got to go to. You and Jeff probably aren't going to go, but I'm going to go.
I would love to be able to bow out of that one.
Yeah, so that's going to be a week. And then I've got the rally in the fall. That's going to be another week. So I just can't. Plus, each one of those is an extra week of driving if I drive there and back.
Yeah, that's why
I just can't do it. Which is sad because, like, it's one of my favorite things to do. And I think I get a little bit out of my system when I'm scouting. So I do get a drive. But I can't drive to all this stuff anymore. As much as I loved it, as much as I want to, I used to drive out to Luft all the time. Used to drive out to Rennsport. Used to drive out to whatever, SoWo and all these different events over the years. I can't do it. I just don't want to be as is. When I get home from something like this, my kids look different. Did you notice that Rhett looked different when you got home?
He's like, who are you? Yeah.
Yeah. It changes.
Yeah, he's much bigger.
It is all happening so fast.
He's like, you know, 3 feet taller than me, and he's just like, hello, sir, who are you? You've been gone forever.
And he's now owns an international scout.
Yeah.
I saw the picture of him in it.
It was a really cool photo.
Anyway,
yeah,
so we flew out to Palm Springs for the Lululemon convention, as we saw when we got off the plane. Apparently, there was a country music festival going on, and it was yoga pants and Leaning Tower of Hats on people's heads.
It was hilarious because it was like a uniform. Everyone had, like, their very, Lululemon pants.
I know what it is. You know when you fold up a piece of paper, like, and you fold it up
like
flat, and then you cut a person out of it, and then you go,
whoop,
and it's like all matching
exactly
people.
That's exactly what it is.
It was all girls in either Lululemon pants and low-rise sweatpants and a crop white tank top.
Yes.
It was the most common thing. And then five cowboy hats stacked on your head.
And I asked one of the girls, I was like, because there was multiple people we saw with multiple hats on their head. And I'm like, what is going on? Is this some thing we're not aware of? And I was like, what's with the hats? And they're like, oh, well, yeah, we're going to the music fest or whatever the hell the name was. And they're like, well, you can't wear the same hat every day.
Stagecoach,
okay. Can't wear the same hat every day, Chris. It's like wearing the same outfit. You can't do that. But you don't want to pack your hats because then they're going to get smushed. So they just put them on their head, which I was wondering, remember old ladies had hat boxes from when they traveled? Yeah. I feel like we're going to see the resurgence of the hat box.
I don't think so, because you can't fit multiple hats in a hat box.
Yeah, you have multiple hat boxes.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting carry-on.
Yes, it will.
That's why I don't bring my cowboy hat anywhere, because I don't want, when you sit on an airplane seat.
See? You need a hat box.
You can't lean your head back, because the brim of the hat hits the seat. So you end up with lap.
Yeah. I feel like you're more of a poser with the cowboy hat than I am nowadays, because I just got out from inside. I just got in from outside, actually. Good had my Lord. Cowboy hat on because I was chopping up trees in the rain, and you need that wide brim to keep the rain out of your eyes. So it was actually functional. It was a necessary accoutrement, if you will.
Well, that's why I don't wear my hat anymore, because I'm not a poser. I'm not just going to wear it around Minnesota as exactly. I drive to the grocery store.
No, I wouldn't either, but I did have to wear my hat because it was raining out, and then a tree fell down and my internet wasn't working this morning. So
you fixed your internet with a hatchet?
A chainsaw, but yes. Even better.
All right, so we picked our cars up from Palm Springs Porsche. Kudos to them for being so really, great with
really cool with, dealership too.
Cool dealership, cool stuff. We drove through a sandstorm, Jake.
We really did. And I love that we're all like texting each other as we're driving, you know, through stoplights. And Jeff's like, holy sandstorm ahead. And you go, that's just smog.
I was with Kenny, who helps us with social. Super, super cool dude, Kenny Perkins. Love me some Kenny. And he's like, no, that's smog. And it's this, you can see it in the distance it was like we were on Arrakis and there was this huge sandstorm or what I thought was a smog storm coming in. And I go, Jeff, no, that's just smog.
Right.
That's smog. And then we pull up to this light and I look down to the left, down the street, which is this long, flat street. And you see this wall going block by block by block.
Yep. And you're
getting closer. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So we pulled over at a gas station immediately and got gas and stuff. And he put his Targa top on. And I put a bandana on my face because, I don't know, it was hot. I wasn't going to have my windows
down. It was hot. So I had my windows up. And I turned my vent off and I was like just dripping with sweat, no ventilation, because there's not like a recirc mode on these old 911s. I was like, oh, I can keep the fan on in recirc, but it's just going to blow sand in. So, yeah, I just left my windows open with sweat.
There's sand all over my dashboard.
I was going to say your interior now looks like a sandy mess.
And I don't care. I don't care at all.
No. Yeah, that's fine.
One thing I noticed as we were driving the sandstorm was we stopped and we got cheeseburgers at this place, which was fine.
Yes.
But in this
pretty good.
In this cheeseburger place was a pinball machine.
Uh-huh.
Pinball is everywhere now. Pinball.
Now?
Anywhere now. Thing? It's a new thing. Well, new, but everywhere I go that's a bar has a pinball machine. And you suck at pinball, Jake.
Yeah, why is this a skill that I need to work on? I don't care. I don't know if I've ever played pinball in my life before that. I've probably done it as a kid once or twice, but like,
what's really changed about pinball is that it's becoming increasingly complex. So, for example,
there was a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. So, like, you have Godzilla pinball machine, and there's all kinds of like, you get the pinball to go in the spot, and if it goes in the spot, you can choose where in the world Godzilla goes. So you can hit the paddles and you can choose where Godzilla is going to go. And it gives you different spots to hit, different things to do. You have to hit this 5 times and that knocks a building down and you get a bunch of score, or you can get multi-balls and all the balls come out. You got like 5 balls flying around, or the entire, some architecture of the pinball machine changes. Like a building will fall down and block a certain area. It's super fun. It's gotten really advanced. You can track your score. There's like a little QR code where it tells what your score is, and you can keep track with friends and see how much better you are than other people.
You are the biggest nerd right now.
Jeff is a business partner. Jeff,
you're right.
Even a bigger pinball nerd than me.
He's a much bigger.
I enjoy it because it's kind of, I don't want to say
analog.
Brainless, but it is totally like, well, it's not analog.
That's what's cool.
It's all, you got like an LCD screen up there. There's one called the Godfather pinball machine. And you go on these certain tasks and missions to kill people.
How? You're hitting a ball.
Well, you have to do certain things in certain orders. There's also one where this is Cactus Canyon is one that Jeff has. And it's like.
Right. Yeah, the old spaghetti Western.
It's an old spaghetti Western based pinball machine. And if there's like a guy with a gun and he's sitting there and it's a big thing and you hit him and the ball will drop into a hole and then you have a shootout and the ball rolls down the thing towards the paddles and there's all these little spots on the pinball where a guy will pop up and be like, ah,
that's kind of cool.
And then you have to hit that guy within a certain amount of time and you get bonus points.
That's kind
of
cool. Okay.
And there's all these different things that you can do. I don't know. Pinball is rad. It is so cool to see it have a resurgence. If you look at the prices of pinball machines, that's one thing I can't get over is the price of a pinball machine. They're like $4,000 to $8,000.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. I would not
spend my money
on that.
And I think I would get bored really fast with like
yeah.
one pinball machine. 100%. I think I'd rather go spend like a few dollars at the pinball place. Anyway,
I guess I haven't seen pinball in any bars, but I haven't been looking. But I guess it's like instead of the old, remember like Big Buck Hunter was in every bar up north,
yep.
the arcade game. I suppose yep. instead of that, they're doing pinball.
Yeah,
I
pinball.
I don't think
well, it's just it's a new thing. Younger people thing. Like it, and Big Buck Hunter is super big lame. I don't like those games at all. They're boring. So we were on our way to Roy's Cafe.
Yes, we were.
Where that was our meetup spot for the road to Air Water. So we flew in on Thursday, and our meetup spot that night to kick off the event was
in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere. It was, so you've got, how do I explain where this is?
It's just nowhere.
It is. It's probably, it was 2 hours northeast of Palm Springs. In the middle of the desert on the old Route 66, which cut across California right there.
I didn't get the photo. Everyone got the photo of the Route 66 painted on the street right there.
Is Route 66 suddenly becoming cool again? Because I don't know what it was, but until recently, I thought Route 66 was this boomer 57 Chevy diner seat thing. And I think I think it
still is.
It is, but almost kind of maybe I was wrong.
Oh, no, no. You know what it is, Chris? You've reached the boomer age and now you think it's cool.
I don't.
That's all.
I don't
is.
Know if that's. I know that's. Haha.
You've reached the threshold.
I don't think it's cool because of that. I try to picture myself what it would be like to be driving across. Let's say you're driving across Nevada. You get into California and you're in an old wagon, like was there a Ford Galaxy wagon? Was that a thing?
I think
anyway, you're in like a wagon thing. I am not like 50s cars. I don't know. 50s cars,
Chevy
60 cars.
Nomad.
Sure. I don't know what that is, but that sounds great. Is it a wagon?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in this wagon. You got all the windows are down with yourself and Wendy is in the passenger seat and the three kids are in the back and they have nothing to do.
I need to know their names.
John, Jane, and Jim. Okay, so you got John, Jane, and Jim.
Yeah, that was a big thing, wasn't it? The naming in alliteration.
Yep. My wife's side of the family, there's like 12 kids.
Yeah.
Like her uncles, and they're all J's. John, Jim,
my
Judy, Jane. What the heck?
My dad is all, it's all D's. Dan,
and somehow I'm expected Dave. To keep them all straight.
Yeah.
I don't even think they can do it.
Diane.
Yep. Okay, so we're John, Jim, and Jane, and Wendy, and me.
Yep. Yes.
And me are driving across the desert.
Sure.
The kids are in the back. There's no iPads. Uh-huh. There's no Nintendos. Nope. There's nothing. They probably don't have crayons because they melted somewhere back in Nevada. They're in their bag.
Ooh, if you were lucky, though, you had the swamp cooler on the side of the window.
There's no swamp cooler. We can't afford it. So there's no swamp cooler, which works great in the desert, but nope, there's no swamp cooler. The kids have nothing to do. Wendy doesn't have any yarn left for crocheting. There's nothing on the radio. You're just whipping and flapping through the AM only radio trying to find something. Maybe there's some gospel, something like that. Praise Jesus. If you come through here, we've got the tent set up and we've got the gospel going. You know, that's probably something you're hearing on the radio.
Tent revivals in the middle of nowhere in the desert?
I'm sure they did. I'm going to go with yes. Anyway, but you're hot, right? Everybody's hot. We're bored. We're crabby. We're sweaty. The kids are pissed off. Are we there yet? Wendy's mad. We're fighting about something. Didn't mow the lawn or turn the toaster off before we left.
Oh, boy.
And you roll in and you see Roy's Cafe.
You can see it forever because there's a sign.
You can see it for miles. If the sun is going down, they pop that neon sign on and you can see it for
miles. It's a beacon.
It's a beacon. And a lot of these places, even if it's not Roy's Cafe, you'd roll into these little towns. And what would you see? You'd see neon everywhere. Mm-hmm. American neon. And it would say things like refrigerated air. Ooh. And you would go in and you'd pull an ice cold Coke out of the freezer. And you'd stand in there and you'd wander around looking at postcards for 20 minutes just so you could cool off before you went and got back in your Nomad. But these road trip spots were really unique and special. And they all have this cool vibe to them because they all have like this mid-century architecture look to them. Can you pull up a picture of and share your screen for what Roy's Cafe looks like?
Because it is very cool.
And there's these oasis spots that you would drive to, and you'd get the family out of the car. Maybe you would stay somewhere in one of these. They had like all these at this place. There's probably four separate little rooms, right? It wasn't a motel. It wasn't like a long string of rooms. It was these little unique spots, and you would get there, and you have a refrigerated air. Maybe you would stay there, and that would be your last stop before you got to Los Angeles. Which is kind of what I was thinking when I was looking for distance, because Pat was like, hey, I want to try and find a spot where everybody that's coming from around the country can get together and then drive in, right? They would drive in from there to Costa Mesa where the Airwater show is. Are you having trouble finding it? Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, that does have a diner vibe to it, doesn't it?
It really did. I mean, obviously, it was a diner right there.
Yeah. Well, it was the Roy's Cafe. So there you can see the pictures of it.
Its
glory, everything like that. So that, if you look at that, that's very mid-century, you know, the very angled roof and all that stuff. And the guys, you know what's cool is the guy there bought it and he's trying to restore it. He's trying to make it a really place where people can stay.
What is this? There's an airplane, Chris.
Well, you could certainly. Well, there's an airport right next door. It's the Amboy Airport. Yeah, this is an Amboy, California.
I thought someone just landed on the highway, but I'm sure they did actually do that.
That would, and then they drove the plane down Route 66 to park it in front of the cafe. That's exactly what happened.
That's awesome. Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's a very cool place.
That was the vibe of this place. And so they were awesome. I believe her name was Rachel. Came out and they cooked hot dogs for us. They made chili. There was beans. You could go inside. You could get drinks. There was shirts. I bought a shirt. Did I buy a shirt? I bought a shirt. It's in my 9/11.
I looked at shirts. I didn't buy one there.
Yeah, I bought it's just the Roy's Cafe. Just the picture with the neon is what
I have a little metal enamel magnet badge thing that I bought there.
Yes, so you can like slap it under your hood or whatever.
Yep.
Cool. Anyway, so that was, you know what was the most common question we got at first was, we got a bunch of emails and texts and messages on the Discord. So I'm not calling anyone out specifically.
No, because we did get this a number of times. Why the hell did you have us book, first of all, in the middle of nowhere in 29 Palms, and then drive over an hour to the middle of nowhere just to meet up, Chris?
Yes, that was a very common syndrome that we got from the California people, who are very used to just hopping in their car and driving 4.2 minutes to their nearest Cars and Coffee parking lot. Right. It was very, very out of the norm for people, and they did not understand.
Some education and some evangelizing, I would call it, that needed to be done.
Trying to get people to understand why it's, you don't want to just drive somewhere for no reason, right? You want to make sure that there is a destination. There is a place worth going to. Finding a place that's worth it is important. And I don't know that some of these people have ever done that before, which just strikes
me as not.
Like, we have a very unique crowd that comes to Overcrest, and there's new people all the time. Yes. The evangelizing is out. People tell people, hey, you got to go do this. You know, it's kind of like spreading the word, right? At first, we were up at the church pew, the three of us going, hey, hello, is there anybody in here? Do you guys want to come do this thing? Do you want to go drive in the middle of nowhere? Do you guys want to come hang out? You want to be there with us? And there's like one dude smoking a cigarette, eating beef jerky in the third pew from the front.
And he's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we'll come out. Now the church is full and those people go out and they tell everybody, which is amazing. I'm so humbled and just, I can't believe it. But still, some people haven't been to the sermon yet. So we gave the sermon and kind of explained. And then of course the people were like, well, where are we meeting? And we gave them the meeting spot,
and they're like,
which is even further away in the opposite direction of Los Angeles. It was 45 minutes east of 29 Palms. And that road out that way was incredible. You know,
it was
about timing, right? I'm all about timing. So when we plan the routes, everything is always set up perfectly. I do like I was like, OK, people are staying in 29 Palms. Sunrise is at 6 a.m. I want people driving when that sun is cresting the mountains. That's when I want people to see it. Like, I was like, I did the math. I said, if people are going to speed, they're probably going to go 80 from 29 Palms. This is probably where they're going to be when the sun rises. So I picked our meetup time
based on
where I thought people would be when the sun crested the hills. We didn't get to see it as much as because we were there early. But everybody else was rolling in, and as soon as they got there, boom, the sun was there.
Yeah.
Because you don't necessarily want people to get blinded by the sun, but they did get to drive as the pink glow started to grow
Twilight.
On the other side yep. of the mountains. And what's cool when you see that is you see all the mountains and they get stacked, right? Because you've got all these layers of mountains that stack yep. next to each other. And they look like little cardboard cutouts. Like if your kid
You're
cut
right.
out mountains and like pasted them on something and then made a little sun and then colored it with crayon.
It's like the old school plays, you know, and they have the different backdrops.
It's 100%
exactly what it is.
That's exactly what it's like a set. And I wrote that in one of my articles. It's like a set
oh,
on
you?
A play. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And so that's very good. Yeah. So it's beautiful. And that's what I wanted people to experience. And when they got there, I had several people go up to me and go, I get it now. I yeah. understand. And that that validation was awesome.
I got it a lot at the end, and I've gotten a lot of emails too about people
yep.
like, because like you said, a lot of people have not done anything like this.
They don't get it. They don't get it.
No. And it was awesome to see kind of that validation, or not even validation for ourselves, but people to understand and maybe have the realization themselves. Right.
Yes.
So that
everybody
was awesome.
Drove
I also
out in
love,
the morning. Oh, go ahead. Oh, God.
I was just
going to
say
shit that went down for me. Oh, no. Oh,
what?
Go ahead. Just
no,
everything
I
had to fix.
Yeah, you're right. That's a lot of stuff going on. But I was going to say, I do love when people are complaining. I get to just basically make you my scapegoat and say, look, he's the route guy.
Blame him.
Here, I go, he's a photographer, so he's, you know, he wants things in the perfect lighting. And I roll my eyes and they go, huh, okay. And then the next morning, that's when they're like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I imagine like... The Lyft guys kind of get the same thing, like, oh, this parking is taking forever. Why are we doing
oh, yeah.
this? Why are we here so late? Why are we here so early? And then when it comes for the day of the show, everybody goes, oh, I get it
yep.
now. You know, this stuff takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of planning to make
yeah,
it right
it
and make it special. Anyway, so we left. Everybody left that morning. Everybody left the meeting spot and they went and drove to Garage 79 for lunch. Kudos to those guys.
Awesome.
It was awesome to meet there. It was a cool spot. Omar is... awesome. If you live in SoCal, go drive up there. There's some amazing roads. If you need any tips on roads to get there, let me know.
Destination.
It's awesome. It ruled. It was really a special spot. Thank you, Omar, for hosting us. And the 944 rally guys had an event there, too. It was cool to have a little
yep.
cross-pollination with
yeah,
those guys.
Sure.
Anyway, so everybody leaves, and I go, okay, something's not right with my car. Have you ever had, like tow out? Where the car starts kind of like wandering, it's like starts
oh, yeah.
grabbing things and it pulls.
It's very
like,
darty.
It gets very darty and very weird.
Yes.
Toe end things tend to stay like very straight, you know,
it's
almost like you're overcoming things.
That and
so
like the steering wheel will return to center much quicker
if
you have toe in, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
which
I'm driving.
I was just going to say during the sandstorm, like it was pushing us around so much in
so
our
windy.
Light cars. I was like, my alignment must be absolutely out of whack because I was
so I
like,
thought
just
that too.
Pushing so much. And then
so I didn't
but
think
you
of
said
it
you were
much.
Behind me and you were like, oh, well, Jake's
that's
gonna
just,
drift that way. So you
5 seconds later,
yeah.
I would yeah, it
yeah,
would it
yeah,
would happen to me.
Funny.
So I thought that's what it was at first.
Okay.
And when I left home, I got an alignment because I sent something, right? I'm like, oh, this car needs
sure.
to be aligned or whatever. And then it got put on the trailer and sent. So I'm in the wind going, okay, well, maybe it's just the wind. And then that morning when we drove out to the meeting spot, it was not windy. You know, it was like dead, no wind. And I'm like, ugh, but it wasn't consistent. Something was wrong where it was driving fine sometimes. Then all of a sudden it would go, and it would just like start pulling in weird directions. And like, it was like following something strange. I'm like, okay, I don't understand what this could be. So after everybody left, I started to look at things. I got out my little crank jack, plugged it into the side of the frame, jacked the car up, got the wheel off. That's not a Widowmaker. It is it's highly unlikely that jack will slip.
Because it actually slips into the chassis. The Widowmaker
it's a square thing. Yeah, the scissor jack that just goes on the pinch weld, that can slip and fall and has killed people. This thing
yeah.
is it's a square peg in a square hole. It shouldn't rotate and slip off. It could, I guess,
not
as likely.
Like, yeah. Anyways.
So I got the car up and pulled the wheel off. I'm like, oh shit, my wheel bearing is loose.
Yeah,
so the wheel bearing is loose. That reminds me, I got to tell those guys I need a wheel bearing. we'll get there. Because I snug the wheel bearing up, like I loosen the collar and I like just snug the wheel, like I retorque the wheel bearing, which is not
yes.
a permanent solution.
Not the correct way to do it, but
I
did it make
what
it better.
What choice did I have?
Yeah,
and then I bled the brakes because the brakes felt a little bit, because I didn't drive the car that much. All of a sudden it was like, time to ship the car. And I was like,
I know. Ah!
So I just ran out of time because we've been so busy putting this stuff together that I just didn't have time to do the car stuff I wanted to do. So I torqued the wheel bearing down, redid that, and put it back on, bled the brakes. Brakes feel great now, dude. They feel really nice.
Good.
For the first time in like 6 or 7 years, the brakes feel good. So that's all together. I went and drove it again. I'm like, it did feel a little bit better. It felt better. And so I'm driving and I go to turn on this on the ramp to get on the freeway to go to our next turnoff.
Hammer
and the car's like, whoa. And I go, I looked over at Kenny and I go, a spark plug wire just fell off because it was that abrupt and it was at any throttle position.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it was carbs because sometimes you have two different circuits. So usually if it'll run badly at wide open throttle, but idle nice, you know that the wide open throttle circuit is bad or vice versa.
Yes.
So but it's bad all the time. I'm like, okay, something is wrong. And it was kind of like, I'm like, okay, a spark plug wire fell off. So we pull over and I see a spark plug wire. Sure enough, cylinder 3, I think, is hanging out of the valve cover. I go, oh, great. So I grab it and I try to put it on. And I can't get it on. I can't get it. It will not go back on. What is the deal? So I pull the spark plug wire out and I look, and the top of the spark plug is in the boot. There's two types of spark plugs. One that goes and it pops on. It's a pressure fit and it goes and it pops on. The other kind goes and it kind of sticks on the threads. There's threads on the top of the spark plug. The one I have is a kind. All right, so I have the spark plug, and the part had come unscrewed. and it was in the thing.
Okay.
Normally when you put this together, I didn't put these spark plugs in. Normally when you put this together, you crimp them with a side cutter, so that this does happen.
A trick I learned from you actually probably right when we started this, because I've had this happen as well. And you're like, dude, you have to crimp those. And I was like,
you have to do it. And this is something I learned 10 years ago when I got my car, when I had the same problem happen to me.
Yeah.
When I was out with Alex.
I remember this, actually.
Yes. There's a video of it in the Dazeel film of me going, this is why I'm having a slight misfire, because the top of all the spark plugs were loose. Every single one of them was like,
they're rattling.
It was like, that's what the spark was doing. So I need to take them all out and crimp them. I'll tell the guy, hey, please crimp my tops of my spark plugs. Dang it. I got to tell him that too. Car's at a shop right now, obviously.
Do you want to write these things down right now? Do you have a little pad of paper there?
No, wheel bearing. You're going to forget. Top. No, I won't.
I'm going to make a note in the show notes.
So Jake turns around. I don't have a spark plug wrench.
Jake turns around, comes back. Tool you would ever think you would need, and yet you don't have a spark plug wrench, which should just live in the car, by the way.
The problem is that my tools have been separated from different cars for different road trips so much. That my spark plug stuff is in the Mercedes because I've got different kits. So I moved it over. I've got so much shit going on. And some things are in this car. Some things are in this car. Yeah, I need to make one kit that moves from car to car. It would be ideal.
I just have like a toolkit for each car.
Yeah. And you also have a toolkit that just says shitty sockets or something.
Yes, that one I added to the car. Yeah.
Fully Chinese sockets, I imagine.
Yes.
So Jake turns around, comes back. We get that put back together. Car runs mint again. And I didn't really have too many more problems, although I have a pretty serious clunk in the car.
And we tried to figure that out.
And normally the clunk wasn't so bad that I would worry too much, but Jesse is going to be driving this car on Utah, and I'm going to be driving the Scirocco, which we will, this is going to be a long episode, boys. Buckle up. Before I get into the clunk story and move on with this, why don't you tell us a little bit about
AC Solutions, Chris? That's what I'm going to tell you about. Yes, AC Solutions offers complete plug-and-play air conditioning conversions for your classic BMW, such as the E30, E28, E24, and soon-to-be Porsche, which, believe me, I thought of this while I was in the middle of that sandstorm, like, man, AC does sound nice right about now. They feature OEM quality components with period correct finishes and materials. Their products are all designed as drop-in upgrades to your factory old system, but with the performance of modern technology. The products stem from hands-on design and development with deep knowledge and passion for these vehicles. They're designed by enthusiasts for enthusiasts and come with complete full warranty and quality instructions mirroring that of a factory manual. Check all of their offerings out at acsolutions.co. That's acsolutions.co.
Yes. Okay. So where are we now? Saturday? Are we at Saturday yet? No, we're not. We're not even there.
No, you're just trying to. You're just getting out of the parking lot.
All right, we're just getting out. Well,
no, we're on the side of the road.
We changed
the
sparkle wire. We're continuing on, and I've got a clunk, and I'm like, I don't know what that is. I can deal with it for now. The alignment thing was better. I think it was the wheel bearing. It's bad. The wheel bearing was bad. So I think that was part of the issue I was having with that. Anyway, so we drive to Garage 79, have lunch, beautiful.
Have awesome lunch.
And then we
drive to
Loden. Jeff Swart helps us, park all the cars. We had a special spot at Airwater.
Well, you're missing.
Awesome.
You're missing something.
Oh.
The sign. We did not go straight to Loden.
Okay.
We went to Home Depot.
Because we're idiots.
No, we're not idiots.
Yes,
this
we are.
This is all part of the plan, Chris. This was all part of the plan.
Yeah, idiots have plans, too.
Okay. Well, it was maybe, whatever.
We're idiots. We like to go overboard. We like to go overboard.
Yes,
we like
things
to be nice.
No, that's not idiotic, but yes. So if you've seen probably the logo for the Road to Airwater, we had the really cool signpost, right? It said Overcrest and Airwater. Well, we wanted to make that come to life for the show.
Why don't we bring that to life? What a great idea.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. So we had these signs made, and I was like, all right, now how are we going to do this big signpost thing? Well, I'll put the signs in my car. And then once we get there, we'll make up the signpost and just attach these to it. So I was like, all right, there's a Home Depot not far from the fairgrounds. Let's go there. Let's get a big 4x4. Let's really overbuild this stupid thing and spend way too much time and money. And then
came with all kinds of harebrained ideas on how to make the sign. Should we use a signpost? Like, should we stick it in a thing that you have an umbrella under the table on your deck and stick a pole in there and put the signs on it?
And then by the end of it, I just came right back to the 4x4 idea. The problem is, and I was like, oh, great. Home Depot, you can have them cut stuff right there. I was like, all we need is just to cut it and we're good to go. We waited for probably an hour, which is why I hate Home Depot. I will say it on the record across the board. Every Home Depot. They're always terrible.
Every single Home Depot. I'm looking for a very particular video.
Oh, yes.
I'm going the wrong way.
Yeah, I worked in Menards for several years through high school.
You did?
College. Yeah, I did. And Menards is amazing. It's privately owned. Yes. They profit share with all their employees. They train their employees. They treat them really well. And they put customer service before everything else. Home Depot is apparently the exact opposite. Every single Home Depot I've been in has been terrible service. Hmm. So there.
I thought I had videos of the Home Depot thing.
Yeah, so we were waiting for an hour for this stupid people to cut.
Oh, I do.
Just our board.
Can I? Let me see if
happen.
I can share this.
So I just went and got a saw, and we
Hold
did
on.
It ourselves.
Let me see
Damn
if
it.
I can share my screen here. Screen.
This is
window.
A screen. This is a window.
This is not going to have sound, but that's okay.
Well, you can imagine me swearing.
Just make sounds.
Cursing. Son of a, this wood is so, look at this, sticks in the saw blade is so wet, so dumb, never, stupid wood, and stupid, that was me the entire time. Yes.
So this is us making the stupid sign at Home Depot because there was no one there to cut the wood for us.
Yes.
And this wood
was
cedar saturated.
Was the wettest, it was like they dug it out of the bottom of the ocean. It was terrible. So the saw just kept sticking on it.
Oh, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal.
It was bad.
It took forever. But we got the sign made. It was super dope. Everybody went and did, got the air water thing. We got everybody loaded in a special spot. Got everybody lined up together, which was awesome.
And then we had the best pizza that anyone has ever
I have
had
never had
in
better
world.
Pizza in my life. And
I don't know
if that's because
I hadn't
eaten anything.
Right. Admittedly, we were very hungry and tired and exhausted. But the cheese to sauce ratio, it was amazing. It was an amazing pizza.
It was the best pizza in the world.
What pizza? Do you know where it was? Can we ever get it back again?
I don't know. Maybe if we're in that exact spot, I can look and see. Yeah, you can look on the credit card statement and find it.
Should we find this pizza place? Yeah.
All right, so Saturday morning, we got up for Airwater.
Correct.
And it was great. It was an amazing first event for those guys. I do have like a couple, I have a couple complaints of things I would like to see. I think there needs to be a little bit. Well, first of all, let me say all the good things.
Okay.
It was turning something like the fairgrounds, which is not an exciting location to begin with. But
correct.
Seeing all the cars that they had there, the cars really dress it up. They really did. They really brought the best out of that space. But they also had great signage. The layout was good.
Yeah, they did quite a bit.
They had vendors, which adds like another dimension to things. And then they had the Broad Arrow auction, which they were auctioning off. Dude, the car that struck me most was the 6,000 mile 964 Carrera, the RS.
Okay.
To the RS America.
Yeah.
Did you see what it sold for?
No.
What do you think a 6,000 mile RS America white?
Well, I just heard you start to say two. So 200,000?
$270,000. Wow. I'm just.
That's
like,
insane.
I was talking to Drew, who had one, and his skull is literally lifting off the top of his head. It is wild. Anyway, there's lots of crazy stuff that went in. Some weird things didn't sell very well. Like there was they had this stupid Porsche design briefcase that they were trying to sell, and they tried to sell it for $600. Then it was $400. And then $6.50. It didn't go that low, but it was like it did not sell well. But Broad Arrow did a great job with the auction. It was really cool. And
we had said too, it's unique because usually these auctions are like closed events where you have to register to get in.
Yes.
Yep. You know, you have to do like your full like credit check or whatever. Whereas this, there were spectators just from the show. You were able to go in and rub shoulders with the guy who just lifts up his paddle for $4 million on the car. Like that was, I think, really unique and kind of cool.
Yes, absolutely. One thing that causes, though, is you do have fat guys leaning on GT3 spoilers. People like touching on cars, literally leaning on the car spoiler. What are you doing? Why are you leaning on it?
I was very surprised because every single car or, lot that was up was there and they didn't have any ropes around anything. So there was like a ton of people just milling about and kids pouring sticky drinks.
So there was like a little bit of a luft spice to this. So you still had the wooden things that they bring in. They must store those somewhere. They bring those in, they put a car in it and stuff like that. And I would like to see, if they're going to silo these events, I would like to see something different for highlighting these special cars. I would like to see what the air water flavor version of that is. What does that look like? And I would like to see a little bit more of like a centerpiece for the show. Like they had that air water display, which was really cool. They had like a 944 on one side, and then they had an old 911 on the other side.
But that was the Pirelli thing.
I think it was, but I also don't know if it was because the Pirelli stand was like right next. Oh, they did have the tires kind of surrounding it, didn't they?
It literally said the Pirelli behind it.
It felt like that was kind of the center point because it was right there in front of
it. It was in the middle of the square and everything else.
I would like to have just seen something more there.
Sure.
Just a little bit more. And I think maybe the flow could have been a little bit better because there was a lot full of like owner cars. That was just kind of off to the side.
Expansive.
I would have liked to have seen something on the opposite side of that to draw people there and give them a reason to walk around. These are like kind of middling complaints, right? These are
big time. No, it's like I think it was a really, really good show, especially to your point, like that this was their first time doing it just in a fairgrounds, which to your point is not conducive for like a really curated event like they usually do. I will say I didn't even know, like I thought I had seen everything. I didn't even go into the dirt track area where they're like the Hunapig and the other cars were. I didn't even know that was a thing.
That either. I didn't really go over
there.
That's my mistake because I didn't explore. You know, I got caught. I mean, we were both by our cars talking to people that were on the rally and talking to people and stuff like that.
That's why we're there. But even if you did try to walk around, it was
there's
like
people you know everywhere, and it's just like stop,
it's
stop,
great,
stop, which
it
is amazing.
Great.
It is really good. All right, so after the show, what did we do? We went to the Tiki Bar, which was hosted by 4Shell4, which is pretty, it's coffee dude. And Nico, he's really awesome. He's really kind to invite us there.
Yeah.
The bartender was stacked. She had more bolt-ons than the Hunapig.
That's probably true. Yeah. That's accurate.
Wider?
Yeah, I don't even.
Wider butt too, I think.
Wider, yep. Less body, less.
Wider, bigger headlights.
Yes.
And I would say the whole fascia was very smooth and aerodynamic.
What would be the analogy for
lightweight?
Less body
lightweight.
Panels.
Very lightweight body. Carbon fiber body panels.
Very lightweight.
But like the minimum amount of body panels.
Minimum aero, right? Yeah. Very minimum aero.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was stripped down.
That was interesting. I was so just wiped and tired though after that. Like I was dragging, and it was exhausting and it was awesome. It was like go. Ton of fun, ton of excitement.
So after the tiki bar, you went to bed at like 6 o'clock, which is I understand.
I literally went back and fell asleep till like six.
I didn't sleep six. Really sleep yeah. until last night. That's what I finally got some. Anyway, so I drive over. I wanted to go visit Mike, Stanceworks Mike Burrows. And he was out having dinner. So when we got there, I started looking at the car. I'm like, where is this clunk coming from?
Yeah.
So I put Kenny in the car and he's moving the steering wheel back and forth, right? He's while I think it's important to do this stuff when the tires are on the ground so there's load. So there's something like really resisting
Correct.
And pushing
yeah.
back and forth. You get it up in there and you move it around. Can't really hear shit. So anyway, it's Correct. On the ground. He's moving it. So I start grabbing all the joints. I grab the ball joint. I started on one side. I said, grab the ball joint, move the tire. Nothing. Grab the tie rod in, move it. Nothing. Grab the strut, move it. Nothing. Okay, so I didn't feel anything on that side. I go over to the driver's side, start doing the same thing. Nothing, 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 nothing. I'm like, God, what is going on? So then I go, okay, do it again. And I reach in and I grab the inner tie rod boot, right where it bolts the steering rocket. I grab it. I said, move it back forward. And it goes clunk, clunk, clunk. I can feel it in my hand. I'm like, bingo, we got it. It needs a tie rod, an inner tie rod joint. And then I'm like, do it again while I'm looking. And I'm like, and I got my shit's broken binoculars on, right? So I'm staring at it, like just looking at it, just eyeball. And I could see it moving. Like I could see it, like I could see I could hear him starting to turn the wheel and nothing was happening. And then you would see it. Like it was not a smooth movement. It was a,
okay.
This, look, it was this. Jake, look at me.
I'm skeptical because of what we'll talk about later.
I understand. I understand.
And that's fine. That's fine.
So,
but okay.
I'm like, bingo, that's it. Turbo tie rod. So, Gorit Six Fix, which is right next to Stanceworks, which is becoming my favorite shop in SoCal.
Six Fix?
Yep.
Those or guys. Stanceworks. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love Stanceworks too, but they're not a shop.
All of it.
I love Six Fix. They are amazing. So I sent him a message being like, hey, do you have one of these? He goes, yep, I got some new in the box. I'll be there in 45 minutes. This is 8 o'clock. He comes down there, gets
them
for me out of his shop and gives it to me. He's got his, I think maybe he was picking up a car or something anyway, but he came down. And this is the same guy that was like, hey, I need a valve adjustment right now before I do Oregon. Can you help me? He said, yes,
oh,
I'll
really?
Help you. Yep.
That's awesome.
And he dialed me in. He's cheerful and happy and smiley. And knows his shit. He's a German dude. Really, they know what they're doing there. They've got some great techs. A smaller shop, you know. I think he actually expanded in the shop next door, which maybe I wonder if the shop next door is the one where there was a gunfight, and the SWAT team came. Yeah, there was like a
while
big serious like standoff. Not while I was there, like AR-15 standoff with a guy that had a bunch of guns and didn't want to come out. And then they shot through the walls, and there's holes in the walls at Six Fix from that. That guy's, I think
For
he's
real?
Gone, and maybe next door, he is where we went, and then he had some other cars and hoist in there. So maybe he's expanding, which is great because I love that guy. I wish him the best of success. Anyway, he brings me those. I'm like, great, we're all set. I've got those. Yeah. I put them in the car. I'm feeling good. Feeling good at that point.
Yes.
All right. So
Hang out with Mike.
Hang out with Mike. Go back. Sleep. Wake up.
Sleep. Yes.
Sunday.
You know,
is...
I will say, you know who else, before we get into it, is great, though? You were talking about how Six Fix is great.
Yeah.
CSF Cooling.
Yes.
They are great. They have the forefront of quality parts, fair price, rich history stretching over 7 decades. They provide the best high performance and OEM plus cooling systems on the market today. They offer over 3,000 different cooling applications for the most popular makes and models on the road, from classic copper brass radiators for Land Cruisers, Jeeps, and Datsuns, all the way up to vintage 80s Mercedes, BMW, Audi, Porsche platforms, and of course, the most modern new applications on the road. Check out their expanding classic series lineup. Check them out at csfrace.com or on social media. Love those guys. Ran into Ravi. He's a really, really good dude. It was awesome to hang out and see these people that support Overcrest.
Yes, absolutely. And I think he feels, I don't think Ravi, he's coming to Arkansas, but I don't think he's coming to Utah. And boy, is he having FOMO.
Oh, he's got some FOMO?
Yeah, he definitely does. All right, that, Sunday.
That's the thing.
Sunday is how I loathe thee, Sunday.
So let me preface something that I think I had a bit of a, what would you call it? A misunderstanding, right? Or a difference in expectations. Because my understanding, we have, of course, the scholarship car for this year, the free ride scholarship program. And we announced the car is a cool old Volkswagen Scirocco. And so we wanted to start filming some of the content around this and announce it. So yep. My understanding, my expectation of Sunday was to go there, mostly do content creation and filming. What then the reality was that I didn't know ahead of time was no. Chris wants to take the barn find to ready to rally in the span of one day.
That's correct.
And so my immediate just like, are you effing kidding me? What is
However,
this? What's going on? Why are we doing this?
My expectations are different too, because
correct.
My expectation was, hey, there's this car doesn't have any brakes. But it runs and drives fine otherwise.
Yeah, but okay. You always know there's going to be more to it. And so here's I think what was different too, is once I got over my initial like, oh boy, this is what we're doing. Okay. I was like, all right, there's going to be problems. We just need to grind and get it done. And we're going to be here till 10 p.m. That was my expectation from as soon as I understood what the mission was. You, on the other hand, still were just like, oh, well, it's going to be quick and easy. We're going to do a few things and then we'll like probably go get lunch or something. Like, it'll be great. It'll be easy. And so it's funny watching how you got more and more frustrated as the day went on. And I was just like getting more accepting of it and just like, well, yeah, this is.
Well, I literally got punched in the mouth, which ruined my day. So that was a really tough thing for me. Like,
yes,
that was really, really hard. Anyway, so we get the car
there.
Looks cool. It's got really wonderful patina.
Yeah.
And it looks cool. And I mean, the dash is the only thing that doesn't look cool is the dash. The dash looks like like if it rained in Death Valley for like an hour and then you looked at where it rained like a week later and it's just like super cracked
and shrivels.
Yeah. That thing sat out in the sun. Apparently this is a movie car. Did you know that? It was a movie extra car. So they would use this car. Yeah. What's wrong? You don't understand.
What movies has it been in? Yeah, no, I get it.
Apparently, it was in a Quentin Tarantino film. I need to verify and talk to the guy about what movies this car has been in. But it was an extra movie car for a very long time. Very cool. It's got some
owned by a studio, probably. Yeah,
well, it's owned. Okay. Nah, studios don't own things. Dudes own a bunch of cars and then they rent, just like any costume company and stuff like this. The studio doesn't own any of this shit. They just rent it, and then some other guy takes care of it. The studio would never want to own this crap. Anyway, that's what the car is. Looks cool. Great patina. We ordered some wheels. First thing I did when I knew what the car was is I talked to our friends at H&R, who are a partner with Overcrest, and got a set of coilovers for it. And then I'm like, okay, what wheels? This was hard. Like, what wheels are we going to get? Because we're broke, so we can't really afford like wheels that I would really want. So then I have to decide what cheap wheels, or let me rephrase this. What wheels can I buy that Jake and Jeff will not be mad at me for buying?
That's what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to.
We have the funds, but we do not want to spend them all of the monies on this.
Yes, I do.
This is
a budgeting exercise,
Chris.
It's a budget. Yeah, I did pretty well. I found some wheels
you go on
like ebay.de and you start looking in Germany. That's not where these are from. But eventually, I think it was my friend Jason who does the scouting with me. He's like, check out this website. So I go to this website, which is like germanwheels.de. I don't know what it was. It's just some sort of like, you go to this website and you're going to go, I'm getting scammed right now.
Oh,
because
it
did you not get the same feeling? Like, this is all a scam.
I remember you were like, you need to order these right away right now. Please do it. And I was like,
use the Visa card or use something that's going to like, that we can.
And I was
boy. Anyway.
But the wheels showed
up. They were $600. And it was $300 to ship them. So we're $900 and they're 14x6 Real wheels. If you want, you can pull up. Why don't you pull up the...
always said Real, which probably is not right because I believe it's Italian.
Yes, let me go back. I'm going to pull up a picture
Real
of the wheels.
Real mesh.
Which way do I got to go?
Wheel. It looks like a BBS RA, maybe, right?
It does kind of look like an RA, albeit a little bit smaller. All right, there's that. There's this. Okay, here's a picture of the wheels. I got to drag it over here.
I think I just found them, too.
Got it. Sharing. I just want to show people what we're talking about here. And I'm going to share some stuff here, and it's going to be a little slow, so I just apologize. So these are the wheels. It's a Real 14x6.
That's a terrible photo, but yes.
What do you want from me?
I don't know.
Something better?
On the car when we had it dialed in?
Well, we're not there yet. I don't want to do that. We're not there. So that's the wheel.
Yes.
So so the wheels are there. The tires are there. We got a whole box of parts from FCP Euro, all the brakes, all the tune-up stuff, blue tape boxes all over the place. FCP is the main partner for this car. These guys, FCP is great. They're supporting this build and making sure that we can build this car safely and correctly for the person that ends up driving it. And we have an amazing, this car, let me tell you guys right now, this car is going to go from ship box on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I am scouting the rally in this car. Drew and I drove this car 600 miles on a shakedown run. Maybe we were looking at some stuff. Maybe there was something we were doing. That's a secret.
Who's to say what's going on?
You could never know if there was a secret happening. Who's to say? Bonus for podcast people that actually have their ears open. So that was like 600 or 700 miles worth of driving total. And then I'm going out and I'm doing the Utah rally in this car. And then I'm going to be scouting Arkansas in this car. And then the car is going to Connecticut to FCP Euro to get completely dialed in. All the bushings. I think we have a motor swap picked out. What motor do you think should go in this thing, Jake?
A 16 valve would be really cool.
I think that's too old. I don't know that that's... Because we want to try and make something that is going to... It's going to help FCP with their catalog. And I think some of the 16 valve stuff is just too old. Those blocks too are super crusty.
Is 180 swap too ridiculous?
No, I think what's going to work great, because I think what will work great is like I would like to do a 5-cylinder swap from like a Rabbit.
Ooh.
With a 6-speed.
07K.
That's right. I think that might be the, because it weighs less than a VR6. I think that would
be the way
to go.
They make really good power. They sound good. And
I think you can get like 170 horsepower out of them NA, which is
the stock output.
175, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think like that's a good amount of power for
tune it. Tune and exhaust or something, you'll like probably be scraping
178 horsepower instead of 175.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind
that
of
that would
the,
be really cool. I like that.
That's kind of the thought. You know, it's a more modern engine than we can build. And I want FCP to be able to do stuff. And be able to show what they're capable of, show the parts that they're going to do, and make this car really, really special for somebody. And it's going to be great. And then tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is too much inside baseball, but I would like to keep the car this year. I would like to have it keep the patina.
Agreed.
Keep these 100% wheels and look just like this. Right. Yeah. And there's going to be some Shielman seats in it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find a new dash. I don't know if that's even going
to
be possible.
They have to do a dash cover thing situation.
That's what I was thinking, is just getting a dash cover for $100.
You can make them look actually quite good where you don't even notice.
Yeah. There's leather dash covers for these for like $400. There's all kinds of things you can do. I found a dash that has one crack in it for $300. We'll figure out the dash. Anyway. And then we just make it totally like every bushing replaced. Car's going to drive absolutely perfect.
Restored.
Mechanically restored. Perfectly, right? It's going to be amazing to drive.
Yeah.
And then the car comes back here. You can live in my garage and just sit quietly and sleep. And then next year, we do a visual restoration of the car.
I like
where
that.
Maybe that's when we do the dash, right? We do the dash. It's ocean blue metallic, I think, is the color. It's a beautiful metallic blue.
It's a really cool color.
And we do the TV screen headlights, and we do like a visual. It's the TV screen headlights are the way to go.
They're only cool because they're different in the Volkswagen world. Any normal person who is not
in
would
the
be
least.
Like, those are ugly.
In the least, we have to do the early fenders that don't have the wraparound headlights. In the least, we have
works.
To do that.
That
and then make it beautiful and then use it again next year. I think would be really great. Okay. I think just having a longer
like
tail
idea.
On the story of the car. And then if we can, maybe we can take it to some events. Maybe we can like do some road trips in that car together and get the most out of it. for everyone.
That would be very cool.
Anyway, okay, so we get there.
Meanwhile, the tires mounted on wheels, you were like, hey, my car is terrible, and it's please tie rods, and I have tie rods. Change out my tie rods.
Put the tie rod on for me. And yes. What am I doing? I'm like getting the car jacked up. We were both back and you were back and forth. Dude, I have to say.
You were doing coilovers while I was doing that.
Yeah. Oh, God. The coilovers. I have to say, and I was going to say this later, your busybody work ethic that day was incredible. I could not have done any of this without you. All the stuff that we're going to talk about, I make fun of you for not being a very good mechanic because you're not patient. Mm-hmm. And you definitely are not patient.
That's correct.
However,
100%.
Your level of competence is really good. You're a good mechanic, you have a great work ethic with this stuff. I do wish you'd slow the frick down.
Why? We got to get stuff done.
I know. Yeah,
yeah.
Everyone tells me.
You know, there's like a frantic energy because I am so busy even at home here that when I'm away and there's something to be done, I'm like, we got to do it. Because if I'm not doing it, I should have been doing something else there. So there's like this work guilt weird thing. I need to be busy. Regardless, I'm always frantic, Jake, and busy and work. And I feel better when I'm working.
It's just who you are. It's not because of this or because of that or because I'm this or because.
So what you're telling me is accept it.
Accept it. It's who you are. I've accepted it. Yep. I'm going to tell you, Jake, slow down. Don't be offended.
Okay.
I'm usually right. Slow down. There's a couple times this weekend where it's like, Jake, slow down. And you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't really take offense to it. I'm like, just slow down.
I know. No, it's good.
We all have our faults. Anyway,
but I appreciate that.
Could not have done any of this without you. And I remember you were getting a little frustrated at one point. We were both under the hood. And I said, Jake, there is nowhere I'd rather be and nothing I'd rather do than be doing this with you right now. I really enjoyed it. And it was special, and I enjoyed doing it with you. Okay. So you're out working on that.
Did I slow down then or no?
You will slow down for like a minute, and then you just speed back up again. So it's almost like train brakes where you pull the lever and the wheels lock down. And then as soon as you let go of the lever, the train just starts to speed up again. So you just have to start shoveling coal into the freight train of energy. Yeah, you just start shoveling the coal into the boiler as soon as I let go of the brake.
Was this pre or post Black Widow?
Oh my God. Well, we'll get there too. Okay. So we're a little bit off on the timeline here, and this is difficult because so many things happened.
There's a lot going on.
We wanted to bleed the brakes. That's the first thing we needed to do is figure out why the brakes would not bleed. Okay. They wouldn't bleed. We got one side bled. Jake goes to open the bleeder on the front driver's side.
On the driver's side.
And I don't know what happened.
I was just loosening it, and half the caliper just came out with the line, just funk.
He broke the corner of the caliper off,
just sheared it right off
because he was not. I suspect you were not being gentle.
Why would you? You got to break it loose. It's called breaking it loose.
You have to be gentle with old things.
It was
especially
so rusty, in fact, that it would rather break the cast caliper part than release from the threads. Yeah,
whatever the case may be, it broke.
That was a problem.
We're like, shit, what are we going to do?
And I go, okay, good. First setback out of the way.
Yeah, well, here we are. This is literally the first thing we touched other than taking the wheels off the car.
Yeah,
we hadn't even
tried
to start it yet. The first thing we touched, the corner of the caliper breaks off.
Yeah,
and we just go, holy shit, that's bad. we need to do all this work today. And the caliper like just broke in half. So we're on the phone, called Jason Whipple, who's my friend, and he has a lot of Sciroccos and old stuff. I'm like, hey, what do you think we should do? He connected with this other guy. This other guy, I don't think, understood what we wanted because he's like, oh, you need all new spindles. And I'm like, no. I just want stock brakes. Yeah. But this guy, something was lost in translation there. But lo and behold, if you look out the window, we are at 10% headquarters right now.
Right.
We're Gavin and Matt and Nevin and Mark, all from 10%, great dudes, have a shop that they're building. They're building this old body shop alignment, like frame alignment shop. Because outside, there's those metal hooks buried in the concrete. And those are for stretching frames. So you mm-hmm. lock the side of one side of the car on one side, and you've got a come along on the other, and you stretch the car out because it got in an accident. Anyway, so out the window of this place, you look in the back, is a Jupe, which apparently is something that only Midwest people say.
Yeah, I was like, I like the Jupe. And Matt's like, what did you just call it? I was like, a Jupe. Jetta Coupe. A Volkswagen Jetta Coupe.
Yeah, Jupe.
And you were it's a Jupe. And everyone was like, what are you talking about?
You guys are stupid. You're ridiculous. What are you
100%. So we're like, there's another Volkswagen.
There's another Volkswagen.
That would fit.
Calipers and carriers would fit. And I was resisting doing this. I did not want to take apart a car and then leave it immobilized, right? The transmission screwed on that car, so it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right.
Now, you and I basically have to fly back out there again to fix the car up.
We have to do something.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something to make Gavin whole. I mean, I almost bought the car.
I was like, should I just buy it? Maybe I just buy it, then we don't have to feel bad.
You were so close to just buying it.
I was actually just going to be like, yeah, I'll buy it.
You could have bought it and put it in your pole barn that's coming. I'm not a big fan of Jettas, Mark 1 Jettas. I never want to own one. I never want to own one. I don't think they look that good.
If it was a rabbit, I would have been like, all right.
If it was a rabbit, I would have bought it.
I'll just buy it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rabbit or another Scirocco is like a no-brainer. A Jetta, it's not a hot hatch. It's not sporty.
It is a Jupe. The Jupe makes it sportier.
It's somewhat sporty, but not really. Anyway, so Jake... While Jake is going to pull the calipers off of that, to put them as he's working on my 911, let's segment this out a little bit.
Let's tell do 911 you, first.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Okay, so you're like,
the tie rod end is just absolutely terrible, smoked. That's like a big clunk. And so I take the wheel off, I take the alignment, or I take the tie rod end out, I take the boot off, and I'm looking at it, and I go to, first of all, there was a couple things. I would have just replaced it regardless. The problem is we didn't have the correct thin wrenches, and I probably could have gotten a big vice grips on it or a big channel locks on it and made it work.
I did have Nipex channel lock. I think you could have done it.
It was hard to get in there. I also had big channel locks, but then the other one getting on, you would have had to kind of, would have been marred. It would have been mangled.
Which I don't care.
I don't
care about that.
Whatever. I was hesitant. So then first I was like, well, before I take it all off, let me just look at this. And I could not, for the life of me, see any play in the tie rod itself. In that tie rod joint, there was nothing. I had Kenny also go in there and shake the wheel back and forth. And I was putting load on it. I hooked it back up to the wheel so I could hold the hub. And there was no movement. And so I go to the other side. Same thing. There's no movement. I look at the rack, how it's mounted to the chassis. I was like, maybe this is loose and it's sliding. The rack housing is solid, and so the only thing we really can deduce, you were like, okay, well, if there's nothing visible, take it up, like put it together. So instead of putting it back together, I just started taking it apart more. And so then I looked at the steering U-joints. So from the column, there's a U-joint connector that goes into the rack from the top side.
One thing you brought over and showed me was a bearing inside of a rubber bushing. What was that?
That was okay. You have a steering column. And then that goes, your steering column is not aligned with the steering rack input shaft. I'm explaining it. So your steering rack is not in line, or your steering column is not in line with your rack input. So there is like this little bar that comes across to connect them with a U-joint on each side. It's only about 6 inches long or whatever it is. And so that little bearing is actually what holds that secondary shaft or the joining shaft in place. And that was pretty not great. But it didn't have any play in it either. Like, I was like, oh, maybe there's the clunk is this. Every time you're steering, it's out of alignment there. But that seemed fine-ish. And so I put it all back together because you're like, well, if it's not, nothing visible there. And I did hope, even though I didn't find a problem, that once you put it back together after loosening and retightening everything, maybe it magically went away. Like, it was just something
you didn't know. It magically got way worse.
Which I don't understand.
Like, it is just like clunk, clunk. No, it is just...
Do not understand what it could be then.
I don't either.
I mean...
So what I'm doing is I towed it down to six fix, which, by the way, I got a text message from him. Let me show you what the tow truck driver did. Let me grab this photo.
I saw this.
Oh, yeah. My God. This is what the shop sent me as a photo of my car when it arrived. What do you see?
So that is how you're securing the car on the trailer. So it's a strap it down. And he decided to just strap it right over the outer CV boot, the axle boot, which appears to have actually ripped. I think it's already torn.
Well, look at how bent, like, look on the left where the flange goes onto the hub that secures the boot onto it. It's crushed and bent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's nice. Like, if you look, can I zoom in on this?
So that has to be, I was wondering that too.
Look at that right here.
Like, you can see where the rubber should be, and it's, yeah, it definitely completely tore. And you're right, because that is not right.
That's not right.
Cool. Anyways. Well, hopefully.
So the car's over at Six Fix right now. They're going to get it. Well, I have to pay for it now and get reimbursed, which I don't have a lot of money right now. So I hope this all doesn't turn into a disaster.
You need the wheel bearing.
Hey, sign up for the driver's club so we can fix this car.
So Chris can fix his car again.
It's just like, what a disaster.
I'm very curious to know what the clunk is.
We'll find out probably within the next couple of days. We'll find out all the information on that. Anyway, okay, so that's that story. While you were doing that, we're trying to find a brake caliper at this point. Jeff is calling some people. So I'm like, okay, I want to keep going. We have these other things that we can be doing. Exactly. So let's just keep going. Let's keep working on the car. So I did like the plugs. I did the wires, cap and rotor. Mm-hmm. And the plugs look brand new. So I didn't do those, which I should have just done them. And the points look brand new. So I should have just done those, but I didn't.
Right.
Which,
we learned that lesson later.
Which is like prophecy. Good God.
Okay.
So I start putting the coilovers. I do the fronts, which are easy. And I'm doing the rears. I do one side, and then I go over to do the other side. And the way that these are is there's one bolt or nut on top with a bushing that holds it to the car. Mm-hmm. And then there's a through bolt on the bottom that bolts it to the axle. Just one bolt goes through. Okay, and I couldn't get that bottom bolt out. So I had my head leaned in under the wheel arch, and I was like banging on this nut or this bolt with a hammer to pop it out. And I hit it one time and it pops out, and the beam, which is basically under stress, comes up and hits me in the chin and basically almost knocks me out. It's still black and blue. My lip is fucked up. If it would have been half an inch higher, I would have no front teeth. All of them would be gone. Ooh. 2 inches higher and it would have broke my fucking nose.
Yeah.
No kidding. Or broken my eye socket or whatever. It was the most pain that I can remember. I cannot remember. I've done lots of dumb shit to myself. Hit myself with hammers in the finger, like cut myself, burn myself, fallen down, gotten in car accidents. No pain in my memory was as bad as this. Really? My mouth filled up with blood. I was spitting blood in a cup. It was so bad. And I turned around and Kashi, who's one of our friends, was there. And he just looked at me. His eyes were wide open. He's like, that sounds like you just got hit in the head with an aluminum bat. Because it was just like this metal on bone sound. Oh. And I think what saved me was my beard. Honestly, like
that added any sort of
kept me from being cut. I think it would have split my lip right in half.
That's
underneath.
A good point. Yep.
So I think it kept me. But dude, my vision, I fell down and I sat on my butt and my vision went to like a little.
Yeah, so like
and
you
then
almost
it kind
knocked,
of went like this with
out.
Stars. I mean, it was real close. I don't know what happened, but I just got like this really hot adrenaline feeling. And for the rest of
I
the
heard
day.
Something with fighters. It's like if your jaw, it's something about the jaw. If it comes out of alignment, you instantly will make you like pass out or get knocked out. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah,
so
I don't know
like that was an impact to the jaw. Yeah, but
yeah,
it
was holy shit. I cannot explain to you.
Doctor in the next room, I could probably ask. I'm sure she's yelling at me as she listens. That's not true.
Anyway, that was the start of my day going really bad. I tried my best not to show it throughout the day. I tried to stay cheerful and block. I took like 175 Advil, which really helped to try and bring the inflation out because it swelled. I tried to eat like an hour later. I had like half a taco and I'm like, I can't even eat. I couldn't open my mouth all the way to barely get the food in my mouth. And the salsa and stuff was just burning me. And I had like a hole, like three holes inside on the inside of my lip that were
from
just
the teeth.
Puncture wounds from my teeth. And it just bled and bled and bled. However, by the way, the next morning, all those holes were healed. Mouth
pretty healing. Amazing.
I was thinking it would be, how good would it be to have, and I was talking to Kashi about this, like, what if the whole outside of your body was like the inside of your mouth, like just wet and spongy, but it healed immediately if you hurt yourself?
I don't think that sounds good at all.
Yeah, like, imagine your dry mouth, but it's your body. You're all like, just like all stuck to yourself and just...
Nope. I don't like that at all, Chris. I don't like anything.
That's probably what aliens look like.
I don't like anything about that.
That's probably what aliens look like. They're like the inside of our mouth, but it's their whole body in a humanoid shape. And they just heal immediately, kind of like a Deadpool or Wolverine or something.
You'd get very dry.
I know. What if we were out driving in Palm Springs in the desert in the sandstorm, and the inside of our mouth was our whole body, just getting covered in sand and dirt?
This is the dumbest tangent you've ever gone down, and I'm going to stop it. Let's talk about Petrobox. They're a monthly service made specifically for the automotive enthusiasts. Each month, they carefully select items, including tools, detailing supplies, apparel, garage gear, stickers, publications, to be sent right there to your doorstep. One really cool tool I didn't know I needed, but I used yesterday that came from Petrobox, was the paint thickness checker. Did you get that one the other day?
Yes,
the
I
other
did.
Week?
I
That's
did.
Very cool. It's just a little magnet to tell you how
I don't. I don't want to know.
Is. True.
I'm not going to use that on any of my cars. I do not want to know.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah. I used it on my latest purchase, the International Scout, to see just how much Bondo there was. It was okay. The magnet stuck. So that's good. It's
or
a curated
it's just
selection.
Rust under the paint, too. Like, if it doesn't stick out, it could be either Bondo or it's just rust underneath the paint, because rust is not magnetic.
Yeah, I suppose not. No, it's not. Petrobox is a curated selection of latest and greatest gear in the industry, and you get it every single month into subscription. There's two different levels to choose from: the Petrobox Basic, which costs less than $20 a month, and the Petrobox Premium gets you even more gear for $39.95 a month. Check them out at mypetrobox.com, and you can use the code Overcrest, of course, and that gets you a little discount. Okay, there was also a friend in this car.
Oh, God, dude.
And then we got to wrap this up, because, my Lord, we're just going and going.
Well, shit. I still have to tell you the story about doing the road trip with Drew.
That's another episode.
Okay. Well, we can spread that out or never talk about it all, which is sad. All right. So let me show you our friend. We got a picture of our friend.
Yeah. We'll finish up Sunday, I think, is where we're going.
Yeah, that's okay. This is
because there's also something else you didn't talk about, which was trying to bleed the brakes. Because that's the funniest story in my mind.
Oh, it's the most perplexing. All right, so we were working. I did all the ignition parts on this car. I'm leaning under the hood.
I remember leaning, whatever. You know how you do the hand up on the hood looking, and I remember feeling my hair brushing back and forth on the under the hood. And
there you go. This is our buddy.
Right there, probably brushed it against my hair and could have been ending
that
up on my head.
That is a Black Widow spider.
That is a Black Widow spider.
And his eggs. Her eggs.
Which apparently means very cranky if you disturb, because protecting eggs.
Yep, not a fan of that guy.
So Chris, apparently Chris doesn't like spiders, which I didn't know. So our friend Kashi, he gets a little red Solo cup that we had in the shop, and he takes it off and he goes, oh yeah, look here. And so I get the cup, and Matt, whose shop it was, or who, you know, is there, and he's like, because Kashi was like, let's go relocate it out back. You know, Kashi's a great guy, lover of animals. And Matt goes, I really don't want that anywhere around the shop. Like, even if there probably are more out back, he's like, I just don't want to have another one. And so what I did first, as I'm like walking, I see you literally take like running off around the building, like the long way, like
whatever.
And I wasn't
was
even
farthest?
Chasing you at that point.
Yeah, but I knew what you were up to. I knew what you were doing.
You did not. And so I take it out and I dump it and I use the old the Widowmaker 3000.
There it is.
And stomp it. And
he didn't really need
it.
To die, Jake. You could have just put him like out in a tree or something.
Yeah, but Matt told me, he's like, can you please just get rid of it? Wink, wink. Okay. Because I do not want to know that that's out back. Because I also was like laying in the dirt back there and doing other things. And so I like, cup's empty, and I show the guys. I was like, yep, there it is. And then I see you like looking, and I go,
yeah, I didn't know you dumped him out.
I go, watch this, and I wink. And so I start chasing Chris with the empty cup, and then you trip, and I throw the cup at you. And I've never seen you more upset and scared and just losing
your
mind.
How fast I was moving.
Yeah, but then you tripped, so that was not very fast. You like Didn't do very well, Chris.
The inside of my knee is damaged because it hit the table.
You probably, yeah.
Anyway, so 9/11's back together. You and I are both on the car at this point. We bleed the brakes, and I'll let you tell this one. This is...
Yeah, so we got new calipers that we pilfered from the Jupe. We got to figure that out. And so brakes are all put together, and we're bleeding the brakes. And
we're tag-teaming this. I'm putting the brakes on where you're taking the brakes off the coupe. It was good teamwork.
We worked very well together, and we got it. It was like overhauling. We got that thing ready to go. But we're bleeding. We get one circuit good. And you told me these are cross-linked.
Yeah.
So there's two circuits.
So if you look inside the master cylinder reservoir, you can see that the two circuits are separated. So when you
dual
fill the front one first, and then
any
you fill
modern
the other
car
one
has a dual master cylinder because if you lose one brake line, at least you have some brakes still working.
Yep.
A lot of times I'm used to them being front and rear circuits. These are diagonally crossed. So we got one basically circuit good to go. And you know, we got the other guys like, okay, just make sure you keep watching the reservoir because we're on the caliper and on the pedal. And like, yep, no, it keeps taking it. And we're sitting here pumping and it's not getting harder. And we're like not getting a lot of fluid out. We were getting some fluid, but not a lot. And we keep adding more. And we're like, where is this going? We've put probably 4 quarts of brake fluid in at this point. And it doesn't make any sense.
And I think I was just...
And we look underneath. We looked.
Dude, I was low IQ.
There's no...
I was low IQ. I lost brain cells for a while. I was...
Yeah.
Dude, I was in so much pain that I was just trying to get through the freaking day. And I think...
And so...
You were tired.
You stepped back. I was tired. Yeah. And you were like, I don't know, figure it out. And so we look and there's just a small little drip starting.
I said, what's that leak from? I said, what is that leak from? Because
there was a little... So we're tracing the brake line. And mind you, this is after like an hour or so of bleeding this. So it didn't make sense that now there's
Like, it was weird too, because you would like blow or suck through the line and it was gurgling. I'm like, what is that gurgling sound that I hear in the car? Like an air gurgling sound. What could that be?
What is bizarre on this car is they ran the brake line to the rear inside the chassis above the floorboard. That's not normal. Usually it's under the floor pan.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I mean,
so this is above.
I don't see it as like a positive or a negative either way. It's just the way that they did it. I would almost rather see it in the car so they don't rust.
I guess it's protected.
In theory,
but this rusted. And so we were like, well, that's odd. And then we realized the gurgling you heard is because we literally filled up the entire floorboard of the driver's side of the car.
There was an inch of brake fluid.
There was standing brake fluid. It was a brake fluid lake, and you were literally, as you're pumping, bubbling it out and hearing it under the carpet.
Yep, so that's where it was going. It just filled up the car with brake fluid.
There was a lot of brake fluid in the car.
Which is not good
for paint or metal. So we replaced that line. No, it's very highly corrosive. So we fix the line, we roll the car out, get it over to the hose, and just hose the damn floorboard out and with soap and try to neutralize it.
But good
so
thing,
that was,
I brought a union. Yeah. I brought a, because I knew we were doing brakes, so I'm like, okay, I brought a union with me. I figured we could get brake line at Napa in Ohio, but I did not know if we could get the fittings we needed because it's a very small Napa that closes at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Then it's metric fitting versus...
Right. Yeah. So I brought a union with two flares on, or two fittings on each side.
Which is great.
And what did we find earlier? Is there was like a
should
random
have been an
brake
indication.
Line.
Like just have. Dragging behind the car. Because it was like
it's a random brake
attached.
Line by the rear left. And it was just not... I'm like, what is this? And I just tugged it and the whole thing came out.
Yeah,
like someone had like
brake.
Started to do that and then...
Yep.
But the bad thing is, Jake, if someone would have put that in, there's a rubber brake line in between... the car and the brake line that goes to the on the rear beam.
Because right. Yeah. There's the flex joint
moves.
Because suspension.
That line ran all the way back to the caliper. So if you were to run that line, the line would have just
been
flexing the whole time.
The guy would have been
eventually would have broke.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess lucky that didn't happen, but at the same time,
we use that
having,
line.
Having the floorboard fill up with brake fluid was a
not,
new one.
Not a deal.
That
however,
was a new one for
I will
me.
Say this entire experience, there were so many miracles that happened. That Jetta was there. That extra brake line was there.
The brake line was miraculously there.
Like all these different things
worked
all
out.
Came together. FCP, we had the right vented rotors and pads. You know, it's got vented rotors in the front, so the brakes work great. Everything. I mean, it was really, really good. You know what I should do is I should have Drew on for the podcast of the
Scirocco. I think you should because we can't go into that. But
yeah, that's okay.
The Scirocco was kind of set. And you left and had some different adventures.
Yes, we did. So anyway, I want to show you guys what the thing looks like. Real quick. Picture
new
of
this wheels.
This is right when we got it on the ground.
Yep.
Actually looks, you know, this thing has American bumpers. We're going to have to change that at some point. We're going to have to put some bumpers on there. Yeah, yep, it really needs. H4s. These wraparound headlights suck. So there's all kinds of things that we can do to like improve the look of this car over time.
Can you show the photo that you took on the side of the road from the rear three quarter? That was a good looking photo.
Yes, I definitely can. Actually,
that's the one where I think it looks really good.
Yeah, the rear three quarter of these cars is definitely the best.
Yeah, I mean that one you can't tell that it's like even that low, but I think that three quarter is a really good shot.
All right, we need a producer. Would be ideal.
Come on, Mr. Producer Man.
Show screen. Boom. Uh-huh. Share.
Uh-huh.
Ta-da. There it is.
Yeah. See, that's looking very good. And those wheels right there look awesome.
Yeah.
Good and looking
I,
car.
The suspension ride height, that's for all the critical people. I fixed it. I know it's not quite perfect, but it's fixed.
Do we need spacers
so much more to this story? Stay tuned for the next episode. We love you guys. Sign up for the Drivers Club so I can fix my 911. That would be great if you could do that. Come join the Discord. We'd love to have you there. The Discord is popping. Lots of fun conversations going on. Absolutely. You know what? Here, I'll give you a tease on the next. Oh, that doesn't work. Never mind. No tease for you. All right.
I know.
That's it, guys. What? Oh, okay. What?
I also bought an International Scout. That's it.
Well, you're the one that wants to leave. I'm certainly here for you to talk about it.
I got home and right away left and bought an International Scout.
Well, we'll hear more about this story. It's worth more. You know what we should do? I'll come out. We'll take a look at the Scout together, and then we can talk about it.
We'll talk about it then. That's a good idea.
Guys, take care. Next week is going to be the CEO of FCP Euro, who's never been interviewed before. I'm really excited for that. And then they are coming on to be a partner on the podcast. I'm really, really excited to have them on board. I love those guys. They take care of this. They're who else offers a lifetime warranty on parts?
It's absolutely amazing. Yeah.
All right, guys. Absolutely we will see amazing. You next week.
Take care.